Well, good morning, Austin Oaks Church. My name is Pastor Mike Kehlani. It's my privilege to be with you today. And I've got to ask, I know they're walking back there, but I don't see any air holes in the drummer set. And I was kept on wondering when Terrence was going to pass out, losing oxygen. But it worked, apparently. He's alive and doing well. You know what? Today is going to be, I hope we have a fun time going through kind of a difficult passage. But one I think we need to hear. I'm one of these people who likes to be somewhat informed about most subjects so that I can have a conversation with you on whatever you're talking about. So if you're talking about, like, my kids, I read the books my kids read so that we can talk about them, and I'm not, like, totally in the dark with what they're going through. You know, my, obviously, sports and things like that, I want to be able to know. But the first, I have to admit that there's some things that are complete mysteries to me. And as much as I try, I don't understand what's going on. I mean, probably the biggest one in my life right now, as a father of a young girl, is the mystery of tween girls. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I mean, at one moment, she's my little girl, and the next moment, she's my mother. You know what I mean? And you don't know when those moments are. You know, one moment I'm cool, the next moment I am so not cool. You know, one moment I'm daddy, the other moment I'm like, strange man, go away, you know, kind of thing. You know, you get that whole, it's just a mysterious world that I don't often understand. There's other things that I don't understand that some of you probably do. I meet with two guys every Tuesday morning. We get together and we talk about life. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. They happen to both be in the software industry. I am not. And so oftentimes I'll get up, go refill my drink, and by the time I get back, they're talking about work. And it's like they're talking in a completely different language. I actually have a sentence from what they will use that some of you will get and some of you will have no clue, like me, what it means. Here's something that they would say. Let's get a UML overview, basic collaborations, and an MVP for our alpha version for release. Now, who knew that? There's a few. Okay, all right. Some of you know what I just said. Others are like me who have no clue. All right, that's not the only thing. You know, I am the pastor of our young professionals, our young adults here at the church. And I have had to go through an education on communication. It used to be that your phone was a phone. You know now you don't use your phone, right? The phone is it's more of a handheld computer. There's a million different apps on there. And when you communicate today, you use one of dozens of different ways of communicating. Just to give you a kind of a quick run through of the ones I can off the top of my head have had to learn to use. Facebook, we know. Facebook Messenger. There's Twitter, Instagram. Those are the easy ones, all right? But then there's like GroupMes and Snapchats and WhatsApp. Trying to keep on going. You know, obviously there's our own church one. You know, you can go through the list. There's so many different ways. So sometimes if you communicate with me, I have to find your communication because I don't know which way you did communicate with me. And I forgot, you know, the simple thing of calling a person doesn't exist. Now, I've gotten better at that, but what is still a mystery to me is why one app is better than another. Why use that versus not? And why is that one not good? You know, I've stopped asking, and I just go with the flow when it comes to communication apps. Now, even as a pastor, there are times when there's certain Bible passages that are also a mystery to me. And I want to talk about one of those today. Now, I'm not going to do it just because to confuse us all and to preach on something I don't think I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I want to do it because, like anything that you don't get, when you do get it, you want to talk about it, right? Have you, you know, like when something you don't understand, but then all of a sudden, some way, for some reason, the way the sun rose that morning and the song that was on the radio, all of a sudden you're like, I get it. I understand it. Maybe it's a punchline of a joke that you didn't get last night, but this morning you do. You know, something of that kind of caliber where you didn't understand it, but then just the stars have aligned so that now you understand it. And this is one of those passages. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 25, as verses 1 to 13 there. And just as a preface and kind of a setup for it, it's a parable that Jesus tells in response to his disciples asking him, when are you going to return? And he gives a lot of answers. And it's a very long set of answers that he gives. This is one of the parables. But this is where he says, nobody knows the day or the hour. This is when he says that, you know. But he does say, here, be ready. And probably the most famous parable that we all know is the one of the talents, where you have the three servants. One's given five talents, another one two talents, another one talent. They invest those talents. Two are considered well done, good and faithful servant, but one is a lazy, wicked servant because he does nothing with what God gave him. And we teach on that one. But before that parable comes this one. And it's the parable of the 10 virgins. One of the reasons we don't like talking about this, we don't talk about virgins, that's not how we talk about women anymore. But if you better for you, you can say bridesmaids, all right? Because that's what it means. The 10 virgins. So if you would stand in honor of God's word, let's read Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Lord, Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you that you give us words for every situation and every time. I pray that your spirit would enlighten this passage. Help us to see what you're trying to tell us through this story. We lift this all up in your name, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. All right, so this passage is one that I wrestled with for years. I didn't like it. And I'll tell you why I didn't like it. There's a lot of things going on here, but probably primarily was they broke some of the rules that they taught us in kindergarten. The wise virgins, these bridesmaids, they wouldn't share their oil. Who does that? You know what I mean? There's that little part of like, how, I mean, we were taught to share, and here the supposed good guys of this parable don't share with these foolish bridesmaids. And you're just like, that, you're supposed to share. Why didn't you just try at least to see if you had enough oil for both of y'all? I didn't like that. It rubbed me the wrong way. So I was kind of like, ugh. So the heroes weren't necessarily my heroes. And not only that, so they send off these foolish bridesmaids to go get some more oil, and they go into the wedding feast, they shut the door, and when these bridesmaids have returned after going on their errand, they won't open the door for them. Reminds me, I'm a little brother, it reminds me of when I was a kid and my brother would lock the door and not let me, you know what I mean? If you've been in one of those situations where people have like left you out, you don't really like that situation. So once again, I'm like, what? The bridegroom is not necessarily a guy I want to hang out with either. He doesn't seem like he's very nice and hospitable to people who want in. And so I just kind of didn't deal with this. But yet, as I was thinking about where God wanted us to go, this parable kept popping into my head. As I said, I had to deal with this. You know, so when it came to the idea of sharing, Scripture teaches fairly clearly that sharing is what we're supposed to do. Luke chapter 3, verse 11 says, and he answered them, whoever has two tunics should share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, doesn't share with him, how does God's love abide in him? And 1 Timothy 6:18 says, they are to do good, be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share. So you can see Scripture does teach us that sharing is a proper characteristic, attitude of those who love God. And so this parable is not teaching us that if you're wise, you don't share. But maybe it's saying that there are some things you can't share, that are impossible to share, that I can't give you something that you have to figure out yourself. And when it came to the whole idea of shutting the door and not letting these foolish virgins in, I said, is that who my God would do, who he is like? And no. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 10 says this, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And so if I had just done a little bit of homework, I would have realized this parable, you have to understand that parables are stories that communicate a point. And sometimes we get so caught up in the details about what's that and little issues. We try to make mountains out of molehills that we miss the point. This parable is not trying to say that you shouldn't share or that God is not hospitable. The truth is actually explained in passage, but it is probably saying that there are some things you can't share, and there are probably things in life that if you miss them on the first go around, I'm sorry, they don't come back. You don't get another opportunity to make it right. So what is this parable trying to communicate? Well, the main point of this parable, I think, lies just right in the opening. So the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And this is why this parable kept popping out to me as something that we need to talk about, because in this parable, uniquely, all 10 of these bridesmaids want to be a part of the wedding feast. They all are excited about what is about to come. As you probably are well aware, back in this day, wedding feasts were like the party. It was like the ACL or the South by Southwest of the day. It was work, 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 and weddings were those few times you got to take off and celebrate with an entire village and have some fun and enjoy yourselves dancing and musing and whatever it might be. So you did not want to miss that, and they did not want to miss it. But then it says that 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. And so it's kind of setting this up. And what's the difference between foolish and wise? Well, the wise miss, or the foolish miss the wedding feast. And so you can see the consequence of foolishness is that you might miss the very thing that you want. Do you hear me? That the very thing you want, by being foolish, you can miss. So what was the difference between a wise and a foolish bridesmaid? Well, it says, the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. But the foolish, when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. What in the world does that mean? What is that difference? Well, what kept coming to my mind, and hear me when I say this, is that being excited about something is not the same thing as being prepared for it. Hear me? Just because I'm excited about something doesn't mean I'm ready for it. We just took a vacation to the beach. And the beach is probably like the prime area that you need to be ready for. You know, because if you forget one little thing, it's going to be a miserable trip. If you forget sunscreen, you know, it's going to be about a 2 or 3 hour visit to the beach and then you're done. If you forget your floaties, you know, you forget your sunshade, you forget your swimsuit, whatever it is, you're not going to have a fun time. You need to be prepared in order to enjoy the beach, correct? I could go to the beach unprepared and I'm going to have a miserable time. Or I can be prepared and really enjoy it. Being excited about something is not the same thing as being prepared for it. And so when we sit there and look at this wedding feast that's being offered, where there was room for all 10 of these bridesmaids to be a part of this, some missed it and some didn't, simply because the difference is that some prepared and some did not. When you think about it that way, you realize I can't share my preparation with you. I can't be ready for something and make you be ready for it as well. You have to either be ready for it like I am, or you're not ready for it. And so you sit there and you realize that this is one of those situations where we're talking about the difference between what it is to mentally acknowledge something and to actually trust and believe that it's actually going to happen. Let it affect you. The first bridesmaid, they knew that the bridegroom was coming. They did nothing in preparation. The second ones thought about, well, what should I do? My job is to usher him in when he comes in. I should probably get some oil in order to make sure that I have my lamp ready when he's here. You know, I remember trying to teach this to my son and some of his friends, the difference between knowledge and faith. They're two very different things, and we often kind of mix them up. Knowledge is knowing the right thing to say, the right answer. And faith is actually trusting that that is the right answer, putting some trust into it. And I remember talking with them and saying, how many of you think that if you were to stand on this chair and fall backwards, that I would catch you? You know, and I'm sure you've done this before in your life, a trust fall of some. And I remember they would all say, yes, we believe, every one of them, that we believe you would catch us. So, okay, great. Now, who's ready to do it? Stand in the chair, fall backwards, and I will catch you. Most of them were like, no way, no how. Even though they knew that the right answer was to say, yes, I would catch them, they wouldn't take the step of faith to actually fall and let me catch them. The difference between knowledge and faith. You see where I'm going. These bridesmaids may have all looked forward to the same thing, but only 5 of them thought about the implications of what that means in their life. This is one of those things, and this passage can, you know, cause a lot of theological debate between what does it mean to truly trust and believe and be prepared for Christ's return, his kingdom. And we can go back and forth, and I don't want to go back and forth today, but I want to argue and try to share with you the value of what it means to be prepared and ready for what God is doing. Because the consequence is, if you're not ready, you miss the feast. This is not a threat, it's an invitation. You know what I mean? There's something God wants to do in our world, and I would even say not just in the future, but even here and now, you can experience the joy of God, the feast of God, if you prepare for it and you're ready for it. The people who see this probably the clearest, we debate about it theologically, but the people who see this most clearly, I believe, are people who are outside of the church. One of the biggest mysteries, the people who do not believe in Christ, is why they're not so different than people who do. There's a quote that I remember hearing back when I was in college at the beginning of a DC Talk song that I'll share with you. The quote's by Brennan Manning. It says, "The single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." There's some weight to that quote, isn't there? And then there's a comedian, Penn and Teller. Do you know the Penn and Teller comedian, the magic troupe? Well, Penn Jillette is a very vocal atheist. But yet even he appreciates Christians who are active about their faith. And this is what he would say, and this is what he has said. "How much do you have to hate somebody to believe in everlasting life and believe it's possible and not tell them that?" Even he would say, if you really believe what you claim to believe, how could you possibly keep that to yourself and still claim to believe it? Convicting words from a guy who isn't even a believer. What is the difference between belief and actually trusting in God's promises and what he has to come? My college pastor, I think, gave a great illustration that I love. Back in the day, he kind of said to us, if one day you get rounded up and you get arrested for Christianity, would they be able to prove your guilt? It was a good question. Or, let's say I'm playing the role of defense attorney, could I find a way of getting you out of this conviction? Could I say, listen, he just went on Sundays, he played the part, he was doing it to make contacts for work, and otherwise it really didn't have an impact on his life. Look, see, he watched all the shows that everyone else watches. He still did everything that everyone else does during the week. He was just a show. And I get acquitted for being a Christian. Or would they sit there and say, you know, actually, when we look at his life, you know, even when he's not around other people, he's reading his Bible and he's praying. He seems to actually sing in worship time, and he's not just lip syncing or sitting on the back row hoping no one's listening. Would they be able to sit there and say, no, I think this is legit? Would they look at your checkbook? Would they look at your hobbies and your free time? Would they look at everything that kind of consists of your life and be able to say that your faith has influenced that? Or would they say that your faith is probably just in word only? That was a convicting statement. But I want to be clear that it's not in order to make you feel bad. It's because there's something good that we don't want you to miss. In this parable, what Jesus is trying to help us see is that there's a wedding feast coming, and he doesn't want us to miss it. There's some good things that are on the horizon that he doesn't want you to be unprepared for. And when I think about the people who serve in this church, my volunteers who lead some of the missions that we have going on in our church, very few of them, I don't know a single one of them that I can think off the top of my head that don't do it for anything other than joy in what God does through them. You know, they realize that they're participating in what God is doing now and loving it. And they prepare themselves for it so they can experience everything that God wants for them. And they know that if they didn't engage in whatever that was, they would be missing it. ADRN, you know, one of those ministries that we're a part of, Austin Disaster Relief Network. They beat this drum all the time. Obviously, when do you actually make sure that you have your spare tire actually has air in it and that you have the tools to change your tire? When do you do that? After you have a flat, right? When it's, you know, after the fact. Yeah. When do you make sure that you're insurance is up to date and that you've got all the coverage that you need? It's like during the thunderstorm and the hailstorm. You know what I mean? We are so bad at being prepared. And they always are saying, like, just do the training before you need it, because if you do it after you need it, it's pointless. It might be good for the next time. But for now, if you're going to be ready now, you've got to be prepared before the thing happens. And that's so true in so many things of life. And I want to say it's true, guys, also for what everything that goes on in the church, for the here and now. You know, here we are in this season where you're going to hear in a little bit that it's an exciting time. You know, there's talk and there's a little bit of a buzz that maybe the next guy will be here sooner than later. And I know we're all excited about it, probably just like all the 10 virgins were excited about what this next season was. But there's a difference between being excited and being ready. 26 years ago, when Rob came to this church in 1991 and started something here, and it took it from this little itty-bitty dying church into what it is today, That period was probably one of the most exciting periods of my own ministry life. I was a college student and just was knee-deep in it. And it was an amazing time for everybody who engaged in it. Everybody who speaks of those years as this great golden era of our church is somebody who was a part of it. They weren't somebody who just sat and waited and hoped. I think we're getting close to another season of our church that could be just as exciting, if not more so, than the one that have come in the past. But my question, and the reason why I went here today, is to ask us, are we being wise and ready? Or are we being foolish and just thinking that we'll be ready when the time comes? You know, obviously this passage deals with way more than just a new season of a church. But it also has the implications and the understanding of it is that it is for here and now as well. I want every one of us to be prepared and ready. So what does that look like? Well, I want to encourage you. I'm not going to sit here and make a single call for a single area of ministry. But I am going to ask you a question. For you to be ready, prepared, engage in what we're doing, I want to ask you, what do you like? What is it that gets you excited about what is coming? Is it the worship? You know, are you somebody who just, that's why you're here, is you love the worship, you love to come into the presence of God? Well, there are ways of making, being a part of the worship team, of making sure the worship experience is everything that it is meant to be. Do you love the God stories that we share about what God is doing in our neighbors and through our friends and through our people? There are ways of engaging and getting out there and actively serving in order that you may actually be a part of a God story someday. Do you love how the environment that we create for our children and our teens so that they can love God, honor God, worship God, and have fun in a way that uplifts them? Well, if that's what you enjoy, there are ways of being a part of that. You hear where I'm going? I could keep going through area of our church after area of our church, but there's something that excites you about this place. It might be just the friends that you have. Well, you can be one of those people that makes this a friendly place. You kind of, I can keep going on and on, but I don't, you hear what I'm going at. Think about what it is that you enjoy about this church and then engage in it. What is your role in it? Don't just leave it for someone else to do. That's what it looks like for us to be ready for this next season that's coming. When we look at this, I honestly believe that Jesus didn't want us to miss a single good thing in this life. Pastor Fred did a great job last week of kind of mentioning that so many of us give lip service to things. We say, well, we know God has conquered death, but then we don't live in a way that reflects that knowledge. And I think the way that you live in a way that reflects that knowledge is that you personally take responsibility for living that way. You say, Lord, maybe you pray every day and just say, help me to overcome any fears that I have that you brought me. Send me to the passages of scripture that give me peace. If you believe that God can really change people, let me be a person who uses the gospel to help people change. We have to be people who do more than just believe something. We have to actually take that step of faith to see the fruit that it wants to give us. So as we prepare for this next season as a church, I want to encourage you, take a step of faith in whatever area, engage so that you can be a part and experience the joy that God wants to do and bring here through this church yourself and not miss it. Let's pray. Lord Father, thank you so much for the honor of coming before you today and hearing this word. Lord, I pray that we would be a responsive church. I pray that we would be a church that doesn't just know the right doctrines, know what to say, claim to believe certain things, but Lord, that we would respond in life. As we prepare ourselves to respond in giving, I pray, Lord, that that would never be a chore. That we would know, Lord, that that's how we want to use the resources you give us. I pray that whenever there's an opportunity to give and to serve or to care for somebody, Lord, it wouldn't be an obligation. It would be a desire to experience the joy that you have waiting for us. We ask, Lord, that we would be a church that doesn't miss the wedding. Help us be ready so that when you go in, we go in with you. And when you show up, Lord, we are there, ready to receive. And we pray this, Lord, all in your holy and precious name. Amen.